Hello, fellow foodies, and welcome back. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the science podcast for the food curious. Today on the show, we're going to get a little spicy hot. We're going to be talking about hot chili peppers. We're talking capsicum annuum and some very special varieties that have been formulated into some very tasty sauces. Our guest on the show today is Troy Primo. And Troy, back in 2005, while he was working at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette's Horticultural Department, he developed the Seven Pot Primo, which is arguably, and he says controversially, the hottest pepper in the world. At an average face-melting 1.79 million Scoville heat units, one of these peppers is 360 times hotter than a jalapeno. In 2012, with a passion for heat and a dedication to preserving these time-honored traditions, Primo and his wife, Kara, created Primo's Peppers. Whereas she is the halo, he is the horns. Over the years, their award-winning pepper creations have gained worldwide attention and a big international following. Also, they've got a really fun activity happening right now. Primo and his family are featured in the current Hulu docuseries, Super Hot, The Spicy World of Pepper People. Primo, it's great to have you on the show.
I got choked up right there. You talking about the family and stuff, but I'm so happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, maybe I'd love to hear more about the origin stories, maybe going back to the time that you spent working in horticulture. Like, what got you interested in breeding these super spicy peppers?
Oh, my grandfather, he was a Cajun man, and he grew jalapenos and banana peppers and really nothing super spicy, but inspired me to work in the soil and be one with nature and grow things. But it wasn't until years of playing rock and roll that I met a good girl, one that I had to pump the brakes, no more late nights in the bars playing music. And I thought, what can I do that's rock and roll in my backyard legally? Hot peppers. So I started collecting the varietals, like kind of like bubblegum cards, getting on the forums and getting peppers from all over the world that you can't really find in the store on the pepper black market, so to speak. And about this time, the same girl, Kara, my wife, who's now my wife, says, I think you'd be good in school. She got tired of seeing me on her couch, sitting back drinking beer. She said, you'd be good in school. I ended up going to ULL for nursing and nearly finished, but I just couldn't respect the profession. But it was something that when I came home from clinicals, I couldn't take off the hat and put a new one on. It was very emotional. And I guess I was either too selfish or not selfless enough. And I was working, I had a grant, so I was working in the horticulture department anyway as a work study student. And the horticulturist kept bugging me, you should switch your major. You should switch your major. And I'm like, it's career suicide,
it.
Horticulture.
It's so sneaky plant people. They get you hooked.
I know. And so I was picking their brain the whole time while I was in nursing about crossing plants and breeding plants and growing different varietals and stuff. It wasn't that far of a leap to walk across the hallway and pick their brains, the PhDs, and get inspired. And I think that's what planted the seed for me to switch my major. But there's a long story of it as far as the parents of the Primo pepper and how I acquired it. But like I told Brian Scope, the director and producer of Super Hot, I'm a quiet guy who talks a lot. So feel free to hone me in and ask questions.
No, I definitely want to learn more about the peppers and pepper breeding. Just this weekend, I was actually planting out my little seeds to go into my little greenhouse to get them ready for transplant later this season. But I've never tried any kind of breeding of peppers. And I'm curious, how does one even get started with that? If I wanted to try this at home, how do you do that?
A pepper has both sex. It has male and female sex parts. So you have to emasculate the male parts and get artificial inseminate from the female parts. Basically, I'm sure you have a lot of academics on here. You have to take the anthers and the stamen off. You want to get that flower before it opens. Now, if you get it too soon, if you take the petals off too soon, it might not be developed enough. But once that flower opens, bees, it could self-pollinate, right? because it's got both, or which it normally does, and the wind, the pollen will not fly in the air and pollinate another plant that I know of. So you want to get it right before it opens. You take the petals off and strip it down, take the stamen, the anthers off, and you have the style and the pistil, the female, the ovary, and then I just pinch off another flower, I deem the father. And you have to be really delicate about it. That's plant sex. And if you're batting a 20% success on that cross-pollination, getting the pollen to pollinate the flower, you're doing pretty good. So, and super hot, I think Araya, my co-star, she simulates it on camera. Better her than me for that one. But I've done it before on camera. But it's a numbers game. I think when I started off, I did a couple. And I got lucky. Mm-hmm. So don't be discouraged if you try it and your flower aborts. Just do a couple of them. Tag your plants that you know mm-hmm. where the parents are. See, if I would do this all over again, I would have being an academic, you have to take good notes, right? You have to take notes. I didn't think this would be as big as it's become. I was just having fun, had a lot of passion, a little luck, a little know-how from the professors. And I got lucky in a lot of ways. There weren't any patents involved. There weren't any trademarks involved. And you Google yourself 5 years later and you're all over the world. And now I'm just trying to monetize that. But that's basically in a nutshell how you do it. And some people use Q-tips and paintbrushes. And I just pinch a flower off of what I deem.
Just put the parts together. The sex
that's it. And then tag it and put your cross notes on it, who the parents are and the date. And then you should have something, hopefully in maybe a week or so, you'll be able to tell.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. Like when I work in my garden, because I am a scientist, right? So I just can't help myself. My husband makes fun of me for this because I was recording this data. I was like, oh, I have to put this into the spreadsheet. He's like, oh, I'm sure you have a spreadsheet on your old and blah, blah, blah. And he's joking, thinking. And I'm like, yes, I do. Here's the Google link. Yeah. We have the data. When you see it, he's like, no, I'm not doing that. No. I'm just going to go and eat the food and enjoy it.
Let's see, if I would have thought about all that stuff before I started, I probably wouldn't have done it. I would have been intimidated. Yeah. I did it. Blindly on just, why not? Like kids are the best scientists in a lot of ways because they're not inhibited. And I try to carry myself that way now. Just try to, making hot sauce or why not try things? And I'm grateful where this all turned out. But if Kara had done it, my wife had been in charge of this, there definitely would have been notes. She was like, there goes Troy just having fun again, doing some outlandish thing. When we were doing the movie, when I was talking to Brian about doing it, and that's a whole discussion in itself, is that I didn't want to be stuck in a panic box or do a fear factor. I didn't know Hollywood wants me to do this thing, this kind of reality show. Who knows what they're going to do? And Kara's, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. I said, we got to do it. She goes, no, we're not doing it. I said, we have to do it. This is a great opportunity for people to know about our company. And there's no money involved or anything. It was all done out of love and passion, and I could speak for everybody involved. It was just a labor of love for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm getting off subject. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. So I want to go back to you're making the special little pepper babies, right? Mm-hmm. These fruit. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for when you breed different peppers? You have a whole awesome product lineup of different types of sauces. Like, how do you pick? Do you put different types of peppers and different sauces? Like,
Kara's the halo and I'm the horns. So she's always going to come from a milder, flavorful culinary side. And I'm the horns. So I'm the spice, the heat. And though I kind of like both sides, right? I like the Martha Stewart cooking element, maybe air prepare or something. But I also love the rock and roll burn them outside. So it's always a marriage of the two, and it's always going to be flavor first. And it's hard to make a hot sauce taste good. It's easy to make it hot. So that's like the Primo Army and the Swampadelic. They're hot as hell, but they taste great. But my wife, she's responsible for the things that have more depth and sweetness and She's the creme brulee. I'm the stinky cheese. She's on the whiskey and she's in the Pinot. I don't know. It's right now we're working on a miso. Brian really likes it. And I'm just, I don't know. It started out as a salad dressing. My wife whipped up the salad dressing. She just did it. That's how a pinch of this, pinch of that. And I'm the one that goes behind her talking about somebody who doesn't take good notes. I've learned to take good notes and write down, weigh everything and get it in a spreadsheet. But it was a salad dressing that just, wow, this is cool. Let me figure out a way to put it in a bottle and make it shelf stable. And that's where I came in. pH and acidity and all that. And I tweaked it a little bit, but she laid the egg and I just watercolored it. And I don't know if there's any rhyme to reason. If we like it and it pops up in the house as something that's enjoyable for my family. I actually said this on camera. I don't think it made the cut, but I thought it was cool because it's a gift to grab something out of the ether and create it. And this goes for anything, really. You just envision it and you create it. And then it materializes into something that people work and spend their hard-earned money to buy and bring into their house to bring happiness in this crazy world for 30 minutes. I don't know. They're eating a pizza, whatever. And it just, that's a gift to me and my family. That's just chokes me up. It really does. It seems cheesy and cheeky, but it really means a lot to me. So I don't know if there's any, we have a lot of ideas, but I'm also like OCD perfectionist. And I sent out R&D copies to a few people. I might have to send you some and get opinions. Because if we like it, that's great. And if friends like it, that's great. But it's got to be exceptional. I don't know. I'm getting off subject, but that's like where we are. Different flavors. If it tastes too similar to something that exists, I'm going the opposite direction. I'd rather fail doing something unique than trying to be a copycat, if that makes any sense. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like it. I can see how you infuse your creativity from your past and your kind of love of music into what you're cooking. Tell me a little bit about that.
Music. You know, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You were like into music before and how that kind of played into path.
Back in the days, DAZ, I had hair. There's a joke about that in the movie you can watch. But I had this big afro. It was big, huge afro. As a kid, my name was Ronald Troy Primo. Now look, it was red hair. I had red hair and freckles and buck teeth with a name Ronald. Come on, that McDonald guy. Kids were horrible. I changed it to Troy as quick as I and got a haircut as soon as I could do my own hair, get my own haircut. But you take an insecurity. My buddy went to my dad's and saw this kid with buck teeth and curly hair. And I played music with Deej, and he goes to my dad's and sees that picture and says, "Who's that?" My dad said, "That's Troy." He said, "Dude, you have to do that. You have to do that." I said, "Why would I want to do that? I got teased my whole life for that." He says, "No, you got to do it." So I did it. I took an insecurity and exaggerated it. And I met a girl at a show that looked at me and said, "That guy doesn't care. He really is himself." And that's my wife now.
Yeah.
But originality, taking something that might be out of your comfort zone and roll with it. If it makes you nervous, you're probably doing something right. You're a little nervous doing it. I was a little nervous doing this. And now I'm feeling good. It's like taking that energy and just putting it out there. With music, we're the same way. Look, if we were too much like what was going on, we did something different. And Deej, we have a Grammy-nominated song in a Quentin Tarantino movie that I've produced. And it's not quit your day job, but we get royalties on that. That's all from my music. Late night studio business and mixing and producing. And it wasn't a sustainable living, but I miss that artistic side. Peppers were the consolation prize for hanging up my rock and roll boots. And I will always love music. They can totally change my day, make my day, sometimes ruin my day, depending on the band. But arts. In Super Hot, we talk a little bit about the creation of a label and making a product out of that almost makes the sauce taste better. if you've got great artwork. Same thing with an album. When the creation of the album cover, I've always been into that, visual arts and stuff. I don't know if I answered your question, but I'm...
Oh, you did, totally. I can see the line between kind of the creative energies from music into your art, because food is a form of art as well.
Oh, right? Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. If you go to my Instagram, there's a point where it was all food. It still is a lot of food pictures, but... Uh-huh. Karen and I would just go on adventures. We got married in Washington State, Oregon, and spent a lot of time in Washington State. But I was just like, oh my God, Willamette Valley, what? And I'm taking pictures of everything. There's food pictures, and there's pepper pictures, and there's cats. You look at my Instagram, it's all about the food. And the problem is I have to get out and exercise. I live in Louisiana. I come from a large, long line of complacency. If we're running, it's to get something out of the fridge, or we're running away from somebody. I love food. I love the creation. My wife could easily be on here and tell you about that process, because she's the chef. I'm just the cook, you know. I might be the sous chef helping her out, but... There's, you know, it's something that I think everybody should do.
I have another question. Sure. I don't know if this goes to the cook or the chef, but I'm sure, like, there are different ways to make hot sauce. Which is your favorite way? Like, I've tried just at home making regular vinegar-based hot sauce. Right. But then we've also tried the brine ferment, where you put 3% salt water in there and kind of let the microbes do their job.
Yeah.
Which one do you try to do, and, like, what do you mean?
Well...
Or is that a secret in the sauce?
No. You're speaking to my heart, because I'm a big fermented pepper fan. I'm just not doing it in my company right now, but I plan to do it because I just want to do we're building a facility right now.
Cool.
Barrel fermentation. You know, Tabasco's got barrels upon barrels. Mm-hmm. Hey man, I'd be happy with a couple of barrels and just do something seasonal, fruit and vegetables, like a craft beer model. And ferment and have some sauces like that. We're not chasing a Walmart model. It's all just boutique stuff, and not being cute or prideful with our margins. It's just, I'm about that. And the benefits, the health benefits of fermentation too, probiotics and whatnot. But for our products, we use like a mash that is a vinegar-based mash, and vinegar in the sauce. I try to keep the vinegar down. You want your pH at 4 or under, by good rule of thumb. But there's some water, and there's other spices and seasonings to it. Now, the Primo Army is just almost like mash in a bottle. It's just so hot. It's one of the hotter ones, right? But typically, the hot sauce that we sell it's like the tomatillo. The Verde's got tomatillos and spices and New Mexico peppers. It's got a little of my pepper in it, a little. And the jelly is vinegar and figs, fig and habanero. That's a big popular thing.
Tell me more about the jelly. So what's this jelly?
They're not a super congealed jelly. We used to do them pretty thick. And then Whole Foods and some of the other buyers were like, why is it so thick? You used to have it a little thinner, where you could pour it on top of cheese or brie top of brie. So it's more of a sauce or marinade, but my wife, once again, was making something in the kitchen, and I was like, what is this? She said, my grandmother used to make jelly, blah, 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 and she got all these peppers she didn't know what to do with, because I was growing them in the backyard, so she just started making jelly, and she said, it'd be good, fig and habanero. And I'm like, figs, really? I grew up with figs. I wasn't a big fig fan. Everybody has fig preserves and stuff. I'm not knocking it, but she made this thing. I was like, can you make it again? I'm going to write it down. And I wrote it down. And like, it's our number one seller now. I'm stuck making it.
Wow.
It's like I say, it's a sticky situation. I'm stuck making it the rest of my life. But it's great. So we have a fig and habanero and a strawberry. And cayenne used to be the like cash crop around here. In yesteryear, I hear old timers talk about picking peppers around Louisiana, around St. Martinville and such, and just no one does it anymore. It's sad. So we have to grow them. But you don't want to use salted mash, and you can make your own vinegar mash and put it away, as they say, but I have to grow it. So You have hurricanes. You have, in the movie, we dealt with freezes. Winters, when winter comes, everybody makes a mad dash to try to harvest what they can and make use of it. And freeze, we freeze a lot of peppers. We make powders. So anyway, but that's the popular line, our jelly. We call it the farmer's daughter because my wife's maiden name is Farmer. That's her last name.
Oh, okay. It's a little play on
words. Yeah, anyway.
That's great. So yeah, so you're growing, are you growing also the Primo pepper in Louisiana?
We're growing. I've got some growing and now at Jefferson Island. There's a history of Jefferson Island. I'll tell you what, man, that's a whole story. Jean Lafitte treasure, ghost, salt mines. There's a salt mine incident.
Salt mines.
Yeah, it's just a mystical kind of place. And we're growing out there. So now they're growing Primos out there. We have Primos growing in Shreveport. My buddy Gary Montcalm, who's also in the movie Super Hot, the series Super Hot, mostly seed stock. And my co-star Johnny Scoville and his partner David Foy introduced to me some folks down in South America, and I wanted to do it everything in the States. I was like, let's do it, because I'm all about trying to do as much locally. And
yeah, true. Yeah,
it's just getting people to work. And during the pandemic, nobody really wanted to work. And it was just unfortunate because I had 2,000 something plants and everything rotted. So I know it was sad. And they're picking a stupid hot pepper, too. I gave them gloves and everything. But
yeah,
but
no kidding.
It's hard work. It's hard work in Louisiana heat doing that. And so yeah. I'm growing down in South America as well. We have 37 acres going down there, and it's only money. I've got some investors, and so that's happened since Super Hot came out around the same time.
Cool.
And we'll see how that goes, and maybe a big company will want to pick us up now, and we'll have the opportunity to supply them. In the past, I'd worked with Popeye's Chicken, and we're still talking and stuff, and in the movie, we worked with churches. So I had two chicken companies, and yeah, I was being courted by two chicken companies, but I was courting them. And so we'll see where it goes, all from a backyard cross that kind of ended up in a Hollywood series.
Cool.
And I don't know.
So I want to ask you more about the show. For those of us that
sure.
haven't seen it yet, tell us about it. Since it's a crazy thing, you get approached to like, hey, we want to do a real life, like behind the scenes, what it's like in the Primo household, like how did
that
all come about?
There was a lot of intrepidation about that because Brian, I had to have a lot of faith in Brian. You know, we had a contract, which I had a lawyer look at and all that. And even though everybody assured me something, I was just like, look, I don't want to lose anything, you know, any IP. And none of that happened, you know, and Brian was a sweetheart about it. And we brought them into our house. And I was like, I could clean this up a little bit. And they're like, no, don't do anything. I was like, we want it real. This is your life. And I'm like, so you start thinking about it. That's my laundry basket over there. The whole world's going to see it. But thankfully, it was some of that. But mostly it was about the passion of several members. There's about four or five people in the movie. It follows their lives loosely. And their passion.
Yeah.
We've got competitive eaters that Liga Far, Shahina, she's going for 100 wins, eating these stupid hot peppers. And she's like a buck 09. She's about that big. And she's just putting down my pepper. And it's sensational.
Wow.
It's definitely, that's the rock and roll element of it. And then you've got Goot that struggles with addiction and family life and the balance. You've got Bobby and Araya, who are the new kids on the block. And I'm like I guess I'm like a statesman to them, the kind of mentor. And there's a lot of controversy with my story. We had to edit out, unfortunately. When Brian told me, I was like, oh, there goes half the filming. But y'all can look up the Primo versus Reaper and read all that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think my family and I carried ourselves from the beginning to the end. And we were likable, and what people identified with was not all the controversy, but the passion. And it inspired. I've been getting a lot of messages from people of inspiration that want to start growing peppers now, that want to try my pepper, try a pepper. And I've been writing everybody back that I can, to the point where I think I need a publicist or something. It's really cool. And sales are up. But the movie, none of that was the point of doing the movie other than I wanted people to know my story. I wanted people to know what we're doing. Yes, who doesn't like seeing their name in lights? But it was more so just, this is something we have to do. I'm not getting any younger. I want to leave a legacy for my son. Look, I'm 52. I had a child at 48. Kara and I have been together 20 years. People think I'm crazy. So he's, he's 4 years old. He's also featured in the movie a little bit. And I have to leave a legacy for him, whether he wants it or not. I didn't have that opportunity. And I think it's great. It gives me something to keep going, to keep doing this, because it hasn't been easy. If it'd be easy, I haven't found it. And I'm just going to keep doing it for him and for the people that write me and are inspired. And Brian and Hulu and High Noon Entertainment came to us. They saw something in it. While we were filming, Emeril Lagasse wrote me. We didn't get a chance to do it, but it must mean we're doing something right. I'm not going to be anything other than myself. So that's all I can do. I was nervous about doing this show because I've been listening to your podcast, and you've got a lot of smart people on there. They're probably way smarter than I am. But
we just get nerdy about plants. I think the thing that we all have in common is this love for food. And I see that creativity and love when you talk about your peppers. And I love that. It gets me excited about peppers. It has me thinking about, oh, what else should I get into my greenhouse and get a head start this season?
You know? Oh, look, girl, I could tell you.
Yeah.
The ahis, Peruvian ahis are great. Back at them, they're like citrusy. They use them in ceviche a lot. And those are great, man. See, I used to have 70-something varieties in my backyard. And when I started having to grow peppers and stuff for these products, I can't do that anymore. I started, after the movie, Johnny Scoville at the end says, I think you're inspired. I don't want to give it away, but I ended up going back in the seed bank and pulling out some of my old crosses and I've got one I'm working on called the Louisiana Creeper, and it's hotter than the Primo and all that. And I've been inspired to play around some more and let somebody else grow the peppers for me and that we need for products. Because that's like playing a guitar. I miss playing the guitar. I pick it up every now and then and play it in the living room with Hudson, but the acoustic. And the creation, the passion, the kind of what it does for my soul is important. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason I started out doing this. I was listening to you talk about origins and culture of food, ethnobotany. And I could have been an anthropologist, really. I really got into that in school because we had to take that as an elective. And I just I ended up taking several classes and just how things are derived in different cultures and where they come from and meanings. And it just means so much to me. I geek out on that
stuff. I just love the fact that you're bringing back also something that I think a lot of people, even those of us that do garden, we don't necessarily play around with making new varieties or making new crosses. We get the seeds out of the packet, you get it at the hardware store and you put them in the ground and you think, yay, I did something. I grew my own food. But I think what you're doing, just playing around with these crosses and thinking about ways to come up with new flavors and new qualities, that's how we got to all these amazing varieties in the first place. And it's not something that I think many of us do. Part of it is it's just we're not taught how to do that. I never had the chance to learn about how to do that from my parents. I've never taken a horticulture class. But I think it's inspiring because you're showing you can do this. You can in your backyard. You said, I think that's great. And then play with your products, see what amazing, delicious.
You need to cross something this year. You need to help you out. You were asking earlier about attributes and things you want, but heat is one thing, but I've been thinking about a few other things like cold tolerance. There's chili patines, which are it's an anium. And it's a plant that the Cajuns call it bird's eye or bird pepper around here because they're bird propagated. Most peppers were originally from, I think it was Bolivia, where they think everything originated from because there's more wild per capita pepper plants still to this day there. But this pepper, it pops up every now and then in the wild around Louisiana. It survives freezes.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. And it's like really tiny. But can you imagine mixing that with a cayenne? All right, this is one of my outlandish ideas. What if I breed it with a cayenne and I make a cold-tolerant cayenne that farmers in Louisiana can grow again, and then I'll bring the cayenne back to Louisiana and they'll be able to grow it year after year? And
I love that.
It's very...
This is how we adapt to climate change, too. You have to stay mixed together to keep up with what's happening. So... Well, that's cool.
It's a naive thing, but it's not improbable. No. It's very much just finding that trait, and it just takes replication and a numbers game. But that's one thing I'm into, too, is like cold tolerance and hardiness. And we had plants at we had a flood at my mom's, and I had like my plants growing at one time there, and they sat in water for a week and a half, and I lost all but like 10 plants. Guess what I did with those 10 plants? There you go.
Have to keep up. There's no winners. You're a scientist at heart. I see it.
One thing I have is heart.
There you go. Troy, where can we send people to find out more? So you said Hulu is for the show Super Hot.
So Hulu has Disney Plus in certain markets. I want to say internationally. I think it's in Canada, in London, Europe, Australia. I think it's on Disney Plus, but it's on Hulu in the States. It's called Super Hot, The Spicy World of Pepper People. And we're all over it. We start coming strong at episode 2 and 4, and Kara's in there in 8 or 9, and I'm at the end too. But don't watch it just for me. Watch it because there's a lot of cool people in it. Yeah, that's incorporated that into the genetics. That's just the way it goes. It's just simple observation and just, anyway.
And then you've got your products. We can find where to find all of your amazing pepper sauces and that pepper jelly. That sounds delicious.
Yes. So it's at primospeppers.com. Spell it P-R-I-M-O peppers.com. My Cajun name is P-R-I-M-E-A-U-X. They added X, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
They kicked us out and they added an X. I don't know. I don't know if we did something right or wrong, but they kicked us out. But that's my joke. But we ended up here. But in the movie, I'm spelled P-R-I-M-E-A-U-X, but it's Primos Peppers, P-R-I-M-O. But yeah, check it out. I'm on Instagram. It's saying Primos Peppers. And I'm pretty approachable if I have time and I'm not doing orders. I like to answer questions. If you have anybody out there that might be starting out and wants some advice, and I'd be happy to help them out, you know. And and I don't know if I sent it to you, but I'm doing a discount for the folks.
I was about to say, right. So we've got a 15% discount for all those foodie pharmacology fans that have tuned in, and it's just foodie, FOODIE, all caps. Right. So you can get your discount. Awesome.
Sorry it's not more, but I just thought it'd be
fantastic. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Thanks so much, Troy, for coming on the show. It was great talking. Thanks. All right. You've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the science podcast for the food curious, recorded for you today on Squadcast. I want to give a big shout out of thanks to our producers, to Rob Cohen and Christine Roth, for putting on a great show for you each and every week. I want you to head on over to our website at foodiepharmacology.com. You can find links to the audio and video version of this episode. You can also find links to our social and, of course, our swag site, where we've got lots of fun coffee cups and mugs and bags and lots of fun things to try out. Again, head over to primopeppers.com and put in that discount of foodie to get 15% off on your order. Thanks for listening. Stay healthy out there, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.